Your presence. We thank you, Father, that we have favor with you. We thank you for your precious Holy Spirit that leads us, guides us, directs our steps. Lord, I just thank you for your goodness to your children, your faithfulness. I thank you for your word. Thank you that your word is a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path. We thank you, Lord, for revealing yourself to us this morning. I yield myself to you to say what you'd have me to say. I declare over our hearts that we're willing to receive, open to receive. The soil of our heart is soft for the seed of the Word of God. And I give you thanks for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. I'm going to be really popular by the time this is done. I shared last week about how... Am I really loud or is it just me? Okay, I'll give you that. About how looking through an older notebook, I came across something that I let slip. And so... when you become aware of something that you've let slip, what should you do?
Go back to it and start it again.
Go back to it and start where you left off.
Yes.
Take it back. Don't allow it to just keep getting away from you. Seize it. And so the word that the Lord gave me in 2014 was... that the word affect me, correct me, protect me, and perfect me. And, you know, to do that, it takes you changing your mind. And that's not super popular. Because we all get told all our life, you have a mind, use it. What is not good about that is if our mind is unrenewed. If your mind is unrenewed, there are studied super intellectuals that are using their mind, and they're using it for ill, for evil, for wickedness. I know that there are certain things that I need to be careful about speaking, but one of my passions that I'm very passionate about is the abortion issue. And, you know, even, and I'm going to go off on a bunny trail, I can see it now. Even the pro-life and pro-choice titles irritate me. It's pro-life and pro-death, not pro-choice. You are choosing life for another human being, or you are choosing death for another human being. And so that alone could set me off right there. I don't condemn those who have gone through whatever they felt at the time they needed to go through. I don't condemn. Because it's not my place. It's not my place to judge. I want to have compassion on people. I cannot imagine what would drive someone to that place to want to stop the life of the child that's on the inside of them. So in order for me to... So this is why I say I'm compassionate, because I know it has to be severe. It must be... in my mind, okay? That's the only thing I can think of. It must be severe. However, when you now know of people during delivery choosing to not keep that child and not give it up for adoption, but have it left to die, that's where... I have a problem. And these people that have passed these laws are intelligent people that have gone to school that have taken the subject of biology to the nth degree. Like, I have grade 12 biology, and I, like, hated it. And these people have gone on years studying, and they have come up with that this is okay. So it's not just about your mind, it's about a renewed mind. It's about being corrected. And so having said that, last week I talked about that the Word of God affect me beyond my devotions, that when I read and meditate on that, you know, the greater one is on the inside of me, the greater one is on the inside of me to help me get through the car ride from my house to the church without losing it over a lipstick that's gone wonky. If you weren't here, you missed it. Right? So that the Word of God affect me beyond, you know, my devotions, and I'm an overcomer, and bless God, I can do all things through Christ, and then I don't get the parking spot that I want, and I have a meltdown. Or somebody cuts me off, and I can do all things except keep my self-control. I know these are silly things, and I know nobody deals with this stuff, but we can do all things through Christ, and we can be an overcomer in these little things that, you know, a jar of jam that, and this hasn't happened recently, but it has happened, that I saw it on the edge, and the thought was, slide it closer to the middle of the counter, and the next thing you know is crash. And it's not just glass, it's sticky too. And somebody has to deal with it, and you don't want anybody else to get cut. So, right? So, but these are things where we lose our peace. Anybody ever lost their peace over spilt milk? Oh yeah, oh yeah. Don't cry over spilt milk. Well, it's cry-worthy when it's the last bit. Right? And the stores are closed. Then what? Well, don't cry over spilt milk. Well, if anybody has not cried over spilt milk, there you go. I mean, we have circumstances. The last egg. We have one egg left. Whoops. We don't have an egg left. Right? I know it doesn't even matter. But it does. And you can get bent out of shape over things. So we want the Word of God to affect us, that when we finish our amen after devotions, that we keep that word going through the rest of our day. That we have that word like simmering on the inside of us. That by the time we go from upstairs to downstairs, or however you have, or, you know, from your, we said last week, from your war room, you leave your war room, you shut the door, and everything gets left in there. And then you try to conquer your day. I heard Creflo Dollar say this week, and he said the biggest sin, and I shared this with you. I said the biggest, this is what he said, I didn't say this. He said the biggest sin is to try and get God results independent of God. For us to want to accomplish what God has put in our heart to do, but saying, I don't need your help. We got this. We want an outpouring in Apsley. And so God says, I want you to do this, like what you were saying. Drop it. Drop what you're doing. This person needs to be ministered to right now. And you think that you've got time. You think that your bed is more important. You think that your whatever you're doing is ranks a little higher on the agenda. And that's all of us. We're all there. But to allow the Word of God to affect us. Now the part where I'm getting into, this is where it gets into meddling. when you allow the Word of God to correct you. Because it's not my opinion that I'm trying to force on someone. It's what the Word of God says that we're trying to yield to, or should. And so we get to our stage in life, wherever you're at, and you didn't get there without experiences, circumstances, whatever life handed you, shaped you, and brought you to the place where you are today. Right? I've shared about the anatomy of life. You guys know the anatomy of life. What you think about, you bring about, basically. Right? So these things that we continually think on is what shapes who we become. And so where you are today is a result of what you've meditated on, what you've thought about, what you've, you know, what you experience. And so because you experience something, let's use healing. Okay? We've all lost people due to sickness. I think everybody has. So we've lost someone dear to us due to sickness. Yet we know that the scripture says that Jesus was beaten, took the stripes on his back for what? For our healing. He became sick, he became weak, he became poor, he became sin, he became everything wicked, right? Sickness is wicked. He became that. He took that on his own self. I was just reading that in Hebrews this morning. He became the perfect sacrifice so that we could be rich, so that we could be free from torment, so that we could be healed, so that we could be delivered, so that we could be at liberty. Is that what the Bible says?
Yes.
That is what the Bible says. That's not my opinion. We can go to Isaiah if you need me to. I'm trying to not go to too many places for sake of time, but I'm going to take you there because I don't want people to ever think that I'm coming up with something that isn't so. Okay, so in Isaiah 53, we're going to read it beginning at verse 3. He is despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. Acquainted means familiar with. And we hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised, and we esteemed him not. Surely, okay, remember, this is Isaiah talking years prior to this happening. But this is what Isaiah saw and spoke of as though it had already happened. He hath borne our griefs and carried, past tense, our sorrows. Yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him. And with his stripes, we are healed. That's what the Bible says. It's not Julia, Isaiah. And Isaiah said it under inspiration of God. So here we have what the scripture says. And some of us, including myself, we are where we are today because, and we think the way we think today, and we behave and act out the way we act, not because we know that this is what the scripture says, but because somebody that we love died. He got sick, and even though this is what this says, they still died. So you have to come to a place where it sounds like you don't care. It does. It sounds like you have no emotions and you don't care. But I do care. I have lost friends. I've lost my mom. I've lost people that were like a mom. People of great influence. People who had more to give. They were taken before their time. And you know it was the enemy robbing. He comes to kill, steal, and destroy. And so we are, though, now in a place where this sounds horrible, but where I can't be moved based on what happened to this person. Where I can't be moved based on what happened to this person. Where I have to take a stand, I have to see what the Word of God says for me, and allow that word to affect me and correct me. Right. And correct my thinking. Because I'll tell you what, I'm not going to say a percentage, but I'm going to say it'd be in the high 90s. Let's say 95. I did say a percentage. 95% of the time, our thinking is wrong. Because we have our thinking shaped by things other than the Word, by our feelings, by our experiences. I know I'm kind of riding on this dead donkey, but it's the truth. We do behave. How do we behave? Most of us, what's the scripture say in Ephesians chapter 5, verse 1? I think that's where it is. We learn our behavior. We learn how to love from who? Let's go there. This is not a scripture that I have written down, but I think it's Ephesians. Maybe it's Galatians. Yeah, that's right. Okay, so I'm going to read this, though, in the Amplified version. Yeah, it's verse 1 and 2. Okay, I'm going to read it first in the King James because I don't want you to think that I'm making something up. It says in verse 1, "Be ye therefore followers of God as dear children, and walk in love as Christ also has loved us and has given himself for us an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling savor." Right? That's what it says in the King James. The Amplified version says, "Therefore become imitators of God, copy him, and follow his example. As well-beloved children imitate their father, and walk continually in love. That is, value one another, practice empathy and compassion, unselfishly seeking the best for others, just as Christ also loved you and gave himself up for us, an offering and sacrifice to God, slain for you, so that it became a sweet fragrance." Right? That's what it says. So who do we learn behavior from? It says, as well-beloved children imitate their father. How many times do you see a son acting just like his father? Well, the apple doesn't fall far from the tree. And that behavior goes both ways, good and bad and ugly. Right? It goes both ways. And before you know it, you're playing with your eyebrows the way your dad did. Right? Or you're doing something and you, like, I mean, I catch myself and I'm like, "Ooh, that's something Mom would have done." Right? Right? Because that's who we learn our behavior from. And this is telling us to copy who? Copy your Copy God. Copy Christ's behavior. Become an imitator of God. Don't try to act like your dad and snort and... Right? Or your mom, Karen. Sorry. What gets shared in the kitchen doesn't necessarily stay in the kitchen. So, but you know that... Which is explains you. So you just, you know, copy Christ. Copy his example. Copy what he does. Be merciful. Extend grace yet another time. Forgive 70 times 7. Go the extra mile. If somebody, yeah, go the extra mile. If somebody asks you to go one, go. Do twain, right. So do these things, and that sounds wonderful, right? Oh, praise God, that's a spiritual thing. Yes, we will do that. And if you want my coat, I'll give you my shirt too. But what about when the Word of God confronts you, which it will do if you read it, and I'm going to go back to the abortion thing now, where the scripture says, thou shalt not kill. But we're going to say abortion is okay as long as it's in the first trimester. Or it's okay if there was a rape. Or it's okay if the child is sick. Or, let me get more delicate than that. It's okay if the mom's life is at risk. Okay, that's touchy, right? That's where it becomes touchy. Because, well, what do you do? Is it okay? Does that make it okay? I know nobody wants to answer that question. And I told you I'd be really popular by the end of this. When is it okay? According to the Word of God, you cannot take a life. You guys all know the story of Cain, right? You should. So Cain killed his brother. Right? I don't know where the scripture is exactly. I wish I did. I just read it not very long ago. Cain killed his brother, and what did God do? He talked to him about it, and then he protected him. He protected a murderer. He didn't say it was okay. But he also didn't want Cain to be wiped out. Because God is what? Merciful. Okay? There's a scripture, and it's a man by the name of Lemuel, who erroneously had more than one wife. And he tells his wives one day that in his defense, in self-defense, he had to kill a man. And this is what he said. But it's okay, because God looked after Cain, so it's okay. Essentially, this is definitely my version. And we would all say, well, in self-defense, it's okay. I'm not a judge, okay? I'm not here. I'm telling you how quickly, because this is also Genesis, how quickly, well, God looked after Cain, it's okay. It was in self-defense, my goodness. Oh, wives of Lemuel. Who talks to their wives in third person? But anyway, right? So he's saying, ye wives, hear me. I killed a man in self-defense, but it's okay because look at how God dealt with Cain. And this is how we justify laws that are being passed. Do you know why? I think it was it 1978 or 1976 that the abortion law was passed? Anybody know? Okay, it was a long time ago. Do you know why it was passed at that time? It was passed because at that time, 1976 or 1978, whenever it was, there was not enough scientific evidence to prove that the child in the womb could feel, experience pain, sense things. At that time. Do you believe that science has since then proven that the child in the womb hears? You know what? When you first are expecting, the doctors will say to you, talk to your baby. Sing to your baby. It can hear you. So the law was passed, oh my goodness, nearly 50 years ago. Right? Close. Because they didn't have enough scientific evidence at that time. That was first trimester abortion. We since have come to full term abortion. In two states, in fact, time of delivery, during delivery. Enough said, right? I mean, I don't need to spell this out. We get this, that this is evil. This is wicked. We pass something based on not having knowledge. Now we have knowledge, and it's increased in wickedness. It's increased in evil. So what are we? Well, God didn't do anything there. Oh, ye Canadians. Right? And I am not suggesting that we, you know, bomb abortion clinics. Heaven help us. I mean, who in their right mind? Like, that doesn't even make sense. If you're against killing, then don't do that. If you're against killing, be there to help life. Be. Provide an alternative. Give people a hope. I am really not. I'm sharing this because it's something that is so a part of our culture that we're not even aware of what's really going on. And when I say allow the Word of God to correct us, there are other things that I won't even go to, because I don't want to step on everybody's toes. But when God's Word says something very specific, which the Word is very specific, the Word is very specific on the sanctity of life. And so when the Word says something to you, what are we going to do? Are we going to change our mind about it? Or are we going to just go on and say, well, you know, I know the Word says that, but. I know the Word says that, but. This is an old funny, but I'll say it. Get your butt out of the way. Just yield, and it's tough. It's tough because sometimes that makes the Word have everything be so black and white that, It's so not popular. It's so not popular. But are we in a popularity contest? Like, we're here as lights. And you know what? There was a commercial. I think it was a commercial. It was a Febreze commercial. And maybe I'm mixing it up, but it doesn't matter. It was an air freshener commercial. And it was maybe dark, or maybe I'm just making this up in my mind. Either way, it's good. So the lights are off, and it smells beautiful in the room, and then you turn the light on, and it's like a fish factory or something. Yeah? Yeah, there was a commercial like that. Okay, but you wouldn't know it because it smelled like Febreze. Right? But then you turn the light on, and there's fish guts everywhere. That's what light does. It exposes stinky stuff. Your house can smell lovely with, well, our house right now smells like a barn. And I can't light enough candles and spray enough Febreze. The puppies have taken over. Their stink has completely taken over. But you know what? I think if I did, like, empty a can of Febreze in my bathroom and not care about their little lungs, I think I could cover the stink, right? But so you can have something smelling lovely, smelling beautiful, in fact. It's dark, and you don't have any idea what you're surrounded by. And then the light comes on, and and you're trying to hide stuff, because light reveals garbage. So it's not always, oh, light bulb. No. Most of the time, people don't want a light bulb. Most of the time, they just want to keep spraying air freshener. Keep the lights out. Don't show people what's actually happening. Just keep spraying your agenda of sweet-smelling phony. That's a really good example. Thank you, Lord. Right? Because the light will reveal the truth. Those who walk in light don't stumble in darkness. So that's what allowing the word to correct you will do. And it's not as easy as, you know, we know it's easy when it comes to, well, you just got to forgive, you know. You're confronted with an issue, well, just forgive. The Word of God says to forgive. Oh, yeah, so I'm just going to forgive. Just forgive, right? That's the easy one, right? Forgiveness is easy. Right? Walking in love is easy. We're like, hallelujah, amen, yes, praise God. That's exactly what we're going to do. We're going to love them. That's our love project. And then our love project does something else that's really stinky. Anybody ever have a love project that didn't cooperate?
Yeah.
Right? And you are, like, you are begging God, show me what I can do other than strangle them. Right? But we count that as easy. Oh, the word corrects me in that. The word corrects me in that. But what about some deeper issues? What about some things that are a little bit deeper ingrained, that you are convicted, not by the word, but by your experiences that have cemented you in this place? Things where you're disregarding the word and you're justifying it. And it sounds wonderful. And your reasoning is out of compassion. Amen. We want the Word of God to affect us beyond our devotions, and we want the Word of God to correct us in every area of our life. The Word of God brings light. And just because you don't like what you see when the light is shed doesn't mean shut the light off. Truth is, you can't. Once you've seen something, where does it stay? Forever. Things that you've seen that you wish you hadn't seen? I'm not going to ask you to share anything. You can just be honest. Things that you've seen that you wish you hadn't seen, right? Oh, golly. Wish I hadn't seen that. You know, we joke about being scarred for life after we see some things. Right? So once the light's been turned on, you've already seen it. Now you have to let it correct you. Now you have to yield. Now you have to say, okay, I don't like it. I don't even want to change. I'm out of time. To be continued. Father, we just thank you and we praise you because your word is light and life. Light and life to those that find it. And Lord, we are children of the light. And there is a call on us to be a light wherever we go. To be truth. To be compassion. Lord, we just thank you for helping us to walk in that light, to walk in truth. I just thank you and praise you for it, Lord, this morning. If there's anyone here or anyone listening that has never received Jesus, it is the only way. Jesus is the only way to heaven. I am the way, the truth, and the life, Jesus said. So this morning, if you've never asked Jesus into your heart, I encourage you to pray just a simple prayer, just to say, Jesus, come into my heart. Make me a new creature. Change me from the inside out. Forgive me. Help me. Make me used to you and used to me. I receive you right now in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Praise God. Thank you.